The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
When I was little, a long time ago, my dad used to belong to two choirs, and so every time he had a concert, we used to go to them. And every year they sang Handel's Messiah, as lots of us know, and that lovely chorus, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors." And very often on Good Friday or the week before Easter, they would sing Stainer's Crucifixion. And it's an oratorio about the week before Jesus died. And as the story goes of Jesus walking up into Jerusalem, they sing a wonderful chorus called "Fling Wide the Gates and the King of Glory Will Come In." And both those choruses come from Psalm 24, which we're going to read together later on. And it's thought that David wrote Psalm 24 to be sung as the Ark of the Covenant was carried up into Jerusalem. And many years before, God had told Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a big wooden chest which represented God's presence amongst the people. And God told them to put in it two tablets of the law, which were the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, which budded, and a jar of manna to remind them of God's provision and care. And so during the 40 years when they were walking through the desert, the ark was carried in accordance with strict instructions from God, how they had to carry it and what they had to do with it. And whenever they camped, the ark was placed in a separate room in a tent called the tabernacle. And the ark was designed to be a symbol of the presence of God in the middle of his people. And its presence had great power. And at one time, the Philistines captured the ark, and they put it in the temple of their god Dagon. But when they went there the next day to see it, Dagon had fallen on his face and was before the ark of the Lord. And they said, "Stood it up again." And the next day they went and looked, and it was broken on the floor. And another time, the Israelites, because they were very aware of the importance of the ark and what it represented, when they got it back from the Philistines, they foolishly put the ark on a cart, and when the oxen stumbled, a man named Uzzah put his hand out to steady it, and he was struck down dead, because God had given very strict instructions how it should be moved. Had to be carried on poles but on the shoulders of Levites, and not any old Levites. It had to be Levites of the house of Kohath, and no one else must touch it. And it's thought that Psalm 24 was sung as the ark was being taken in Jerusalem, where David had pitched a tent for it, because they didn't have a temple yet at this time. And there was great joy and much celebration as they were taking the ark into Jerusalem. And you can read about it in 2 Samuel 6. And they were rejoicing and making music on trumpets. And David made a sacrifice to God, and he danced before the Lord. And when they sang the Psalm 24, it wouldn't have been sung like we just straight down in the Bible like we have it. It would have been, there'd have been choirs, one choir sang a bit, another choir sang a bit, and so on. So I thought we'd read it a bit like that today. So if we imagine that we're there walking up into Jerusalem, think what it was like. There was a shine, what it looked like, shining gold on the Ark of the Covenant. People's clothes, the busy, jostling people. Think of the sounds, lots of people chatting, the trumpets. Imagine the smells. David had just made a sacrifice, and also there were lots of hot people around. So let's just imagine that we're there. We're going to say it, and we're not going to sing it, and say it with enthusiasm. Imagine we're walking up to to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, which is very exciting. So, it's supposed to say chorus 1 and 2. Oh, I think it does. Can you just see it says choir? We'll have choir 1 this side and choir 2 that side. The red is choir 1, and we'll probably see what colour choir 2 is in a minute. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it on the waters.
The earth is the Lord's.
The earth is the Lord's, everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it on the waters.
Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?
The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in man or swear by false God, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob.
Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates.
Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory.
The Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory.
The Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory. He is the King of Glory. Thank you. Are you all tired from walking up the hill? And you can see what a time of rejoicing and celebration it was. And they were celebrating the fact that God was the creator and sovereign of all the world. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And David was a successful and noble king, but of a relatively small and insignificant kingdom. And you can easily think that the gods of the kingdom of the Egyptians and the Assyrians, which were large nations, was the God of the whole earth and all his creation. And that means he's the Lord of us as well. And Paul actually quoted this verse, the earth is the Lord and everything in it, in 1 Corinthians 10:26, which Glyn mentioned a few months ago, saying that God has made everything that is good, and it's good, and it's right to eat anything. And it says in 1 Corinthians 10:10, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so as the people were walking up to Jerusalem, they were praising God for all that he had created, that we heard from the children earlier on, he's made everything. And similarly, and then as they were walking up to heaven, to Jerusalem, which they saw as a symbol of heaven, they were asking themselves, were they worthy to come and see God because he was holy? And similarly, in Psalm 15, it says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? And the answer was, those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who do not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They were remembering that God is holy and that they needed to be righteous. And eventually, they meet the gates of the city, and the gates were closed. So the procession stopped, and demand was made for entrance. That's what we've been saying. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Or as it says in the Good News Bible, fling wide the gates and the King of Glory will come in. And I love that translation. Fling wide the gates and the King of Glory will come in. Now, I found this interesting quote from Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if this is true today, but this is what he wrote. When the King of England wishes to enter the city of London through the Temple Bar, the gate being closed against him, the herald demands entrance. Open the gate, from which a voice is heard. Who is there? The herald answers, the King of England. The gate at once is opened, and the king passes amidst the joyful acclamations of his people. This is an ancient custom, and as the allusion to it is in Psalm 24. Now today, as we've heard, is Ascension Sunday. And I was interested to think of the link with Psalm 24, with Jesus ascending into heaven. Because Jerusalem was a picture of heaven. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary, wrote, the splendid entry here described refers to the solemn bringing in of the ark into the tent David pitched for it. We may also apply it to the ascension of Christ into heaven, and the welcome given to him there. So fling wide the gates and the king will come in is also a description of what happened when Jesus ascended into heaven. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God had banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And the gates of heaven were closed to sinful human beings, so that when Jesus came on earth and he took our sins upon himself, he too wouldn't be able to go into heaven. The gates of heaven were closed to him. However, the wonderful thing is that he had the victory over sin on the cross. So at his ascension, the gates of heaven were open to him. And that shows that he had dealt with our sin, or he wouldn't have been able to go into heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And also, he opened the way for us to go into heaven too. The gates would be open for us because of what Jesus did. As it says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. And Jesus did have, but we didn't. But because of Jesus, we have. And God looks on what Jesus did. And so the gates of heaven are flung open for us as well. And when Jesus talked about his ascension, he said he would return to his father, so that the door would be flung open for us too. In John 16, he says, I came from the heaven and from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. And in John 14, he says, he's going to his Father's house to prepare a place for us, that we will come again back to take us to be with him forever. And in 2 Peter 1, it says, God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 10 says, talks about us having confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. When heaven's gates were flung open for Jesus at his ascension, they were flung open for us as well. But there is a third application that I like to think about of flinging wide the gates, and that's a personal one for us. And that is that this lovely picture there talks about Jesus standing at our heart's door. It's called the light of the world. And the idea that we fling open the gates of our heart for Jesus to come in. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in. I used to see that picture very often. I lived quite near London. And my mum and dad and sister and I used to go up to St. Paul's Cathedral. You may have seen it there. It's beautiful. And I just stood looking at it. And it was very much part of my life as a little girl. And I had a copy of the picture as well. And then later on, my son went to Oxford. And we went to visit him in Keble College. And to my astonishment, there was another picture just like that. Holman Hunt's, and he'd done two. And they told us that when Holman Hunt painted the first one for Keble College, people were charged to go and look at it, and he wanted to be able to see it freely. So he made another one for St. Paul's Cathedral. But the funny thing is now you have to pay to go in St. Paul's Cathedral, and you can go to Keble College for nothing. And the lovely thing is that picture is that if we open the door, the light of Jesus will come in. And if you have a dark room and a light room with the door between, and you open the door, the darkness doesn't go into the light room. The light goes into the dark room. And when we open the door of our hearts that are dark, Jesus will come in all his life, light. It used to be a chorus that we sang, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I did that when I was about 5. My mum explained to me that when I was naughty, it made God really sad. And that Jesus had died on the cross and taken my punishment so that he would forgive me. And if I asked Jesus, he would come into my heart. And so I did that when I was 5. And since then, I've always felt the presence of Jesus with me. Naturally, since then, I've had lots of questions and I've learned a lot more. And I've still got a lot more to learn, which is so exciting because we never get to the end of it. There's always more to learn about the Lord. But it's wonderful, isn't it, that it's opening the door to Jesus is simple enough for a 5-year-old to do. And a couple of years ago, I was waiting at Finley Park Hospital for blood tests, and I was sitting next to a man who was reading a scientific journal. And we got chatting, and I said I used to teach maths and science. And so he thought I understood more than I did, I think, because he started reading bits of this journal to me, which was rather over my head, but I could tell it was very wonderful. But I couldn't say anything scientific, so I just said to him, isn't that wonderful? It does make you think there must be a God or some higher power who made it all, or he disagreed with that. So I said, well, I'm very fortunate because I was brought up in a Christian family and I found it worked before I wondered why. And he said, well, that's very interesting. He said, there's recently been a new discovery that works and no one knows why, but it doesn't really matter, does it, if it works? And at that point, he was called in to have his blood test. And as he came out, he came over to me and shook my hand. And I thought, it reminded me, isn't it wonderful that even as a child, you know, it's simple enough to open the door of our hearts and Jesus will come in. But also it's been very significant, that phrase, to me in a personal way. Some years ago, after a huge trauma in my life, I felt quite confused and muddled and unhappy. And I decided I'd go and speak to a minister I knew to talk and pray about it. And on the way, as I was driving there, I thought, well, I won't tell him that bit because he won't think very good of me if I tell him that. I better not tell him that because da-da-da-da-da. And as I drove along, the words came into my heart, fling wide the gates and the King of Glory will come in. So when I got there, I held nothing back. I was saying it to Jesus and I just poured it all out. I opened the door and the light of Jesus flooded in and I was free and totally changed as a result of it. And so God was telling me to hold nothing back, but just to fling wide the gates of my heart and let the Lord into my feelings of confusion and muddle. And it's easy for us to get uptight in life, isn't it? Which is absolutely the opposite of flinging wide the gates. We may do something wrong and we feel guilty. And it's easy to feel uptight inside and try to convince ourselves that perhaps it wasn't too bad. And other people do much worse. And we try and put it out of our minds. But there's Jesus standing at the door of our hearts and saying, fling wide the gates and let me in. And if we do, he comes in with his forgiveness and love and the promise to help us next time we're tempted. As John 1 says, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if you're feeling guilty, fling wide the gates and let Jesus in. We may feel frightened and worried about a situation that we can do and how we can cope or how we can run away. But Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts saying, fling wide the gates and let me in. Then if we do, he comes in with his love and courage and promise to help us. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you're frightened, fling wide the gates and let Jesus in. We may feel too weak to cope with the challenges that face us. We may feel uptight to feel, and we try to feel strong and capable when we know that we aren't. But Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts saying, fling wide the gates and let me in. Then if we do, he comes in with his strength and wisdom and gives us the confidence to go ahead, relying on him each step of the way. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Or another translation, my power shows up best in weak people. If you feel weak, fling wide the gates and let Jesus in. We may feel tempted to do something wrong to get out of a difficult situation. We can feel uptight, trying to convince ourselves that it's all right. But Jesus is standing at the door of our hearts saying, fling wide the gates and let me in. Then, if we do, he comes in with his strength to enable us to face the temptation. In 1 Corinthians, it says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. If you feel tempted, fling wide the gates and let Jesus in. We may be worried about the future. We may feel uptight as we don't know what to do or what may happen. But Jesus is standing at the door saying, fling wide the gates and let me in. Then if we do, he will come in to guide us and give us the assurance that he will be with us all the way. In Jeremiah it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If you fear the future, fling wide the gates and let Jesus in. So whatever may be the emotions we're feeling, or whatever is the elephant in the room in our hearts that we don't want to think about and we keep diverting our mind from, then Jesus wants to fling wide the gates so that he can come in and be the light in the dark places. He became human and lived on earth And he felt emotion so that he understands what we feel like. I heard a hymn on Songs of Praise some time ago, which highlights the difference that it makes when we fling wide the gates and let Jesus in. Light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, hope after fears, home after wandering, praise after tears, sheaves after sowing, sun after rain, sight after mystery, peace after pain, joy after sorrow, calm after blast, rest after weariness, sweet rest at last, near after distant, gleam after gloom, love after loneliness, life after tomb, after long agony, rapture of bliss, right was the pathway leading to this. So whatever is the thing that's on our minds, let's just pray. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen.